In this video, you will hear a firsthand testimony of Pastor and Dr. Carl Sanders, an electronic engineer, inventor, and author who led a team of researchers in the development of the RFID chip. He was shown by the Lord Jesus Christ that this is the mark of the beast, in which the book of Revelation, chapters 13 and 14, gives us much insight on. Seho Song has taken a sermon in which Pastor Sanders used an interpreter and cut out all of the translator's words for those of you who are English speaking. The original video link is located in the description box for those of you who want to hear the entire video. Let Pastor Sanders' own words about the time period that we are living in speak for themselves. We are living in the last days, and we must be as wise as the serpent and harmless as doves. Friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Greater is Jesus Christ living in us than the serpent who is in the world.
What I'm here to share with you is a testimony of where I lived, the people I spent my time with. I was an engineer for 32 years, and that's not important. But what is important is what I have to share with you. Many people have asked me, isn't there some way around this device, this microchip? Could a glove be made with a microchip in it so I could still get food? We have the greatest answer, and that is Jesus Christ. In 1966, I was put on a project. I had been with IBM, and now I was with General Electric. The project was to develop a little microcircuit that would connect the nerve ends on a broken spine back together. This seemed like a good idea to me, and it's something that I would want to be a part of. I was a very zealous engineer. I worked very hard. I worked many long hours. I was a design engineer and used Boolean algebra, Boolean equations to design computer circuits. We were not successful with the young lady with the severed spine. And as time went along, it looked like they were going to close our project down. We had learned many things, but she was not doing well. Much of our research data had been publicized, and some men came to us that we were to find out were from the government. They were from the CIA and the FBI. And they asked us to develop a little microchip for identification. This was to be used not in human beings, not in animals, but to be put in drug shipments to catch drug dealers. They came with a lot of money, and so we were willing to do whatever we could. I want to tell you at this point that I was not a Christian, and I did not want anything to do with Christians. We had developed the first identification device, and it was completed in the early 70s. They came back to us and they said, we want something better than that. And so we said, if you have enough money, we can develop anything. I was not alone there. There were 100 people involved in the project. Some were from General Electric, some from Motorola, some were from the Bell Laboratory, some were from the Boston Medical Center, and some were from Stanford University. My responsibility was project leader or the senior project engineer. We began to work on the design of a microchip that, when it was completed, was 0.75 millimeters in diameter, 7 millimeters long. It was the size of 1/4 of a grain of rice. Again, I want to say that I was not a Christian and there were no Christians there. They said they wanted this to have a power source and be able to emit a signal. And they told us they wanted us to use lithium as a battery source. Lithium's used in watch batteries, it's used in heart pacemaker batteries, it's used in a lot of places. I designed into this microchip a little charging circuit that would charge that battery. This sounds like a lot of technical things coming together, but if you'll bear with me 1 minute, you'll see what God has laid out about this microchip. When we discovered that we needed to be able to charge that battery, I needed a change in temperature to cause current to flow through that little charging circuit that would charge the battery. So we began to investigate and find out where in the body does the temperature change the most rapidly. We spent over $1 million in taxpayer money, and when the results came back, there was a lot of information. We divided it up amongst three teams and then came back together with that information. It was determined that there were two places in the body that were ideal for the microchip. One was just below the hairline on the forehead. Every mother checks their child's temperature right here. So we could have paid the mothers $1 million and saved a... I never saw a mother check their child's temperature on their ankle. Always right here. The other place was the hand, the right hand preferred, because most people are right-handed. This didn't bother me, and it didn't bother anybody else on the team. The hand seemed a good place. Nobody wanted it here. And so the design work, everything was completed. The microchip was done. You're seeing it now on some of the Discovery Channel presentations. There are people who have received it already. It is real. It's not something that's coming way down the road. They gave me a Bible. They told me not to read the book of Revelation. They said the book of Revelation is too hard to understand. So I waited, and I didn't read the book of Revelation for quite some time. Then one day I came to Revelation 13, verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I didn't like what I saw. I went back and looked up the word mark. I went to the Strong's Concordance, and I found that John had used three words for the word mark: charagma, charicater, and charax. That was from the Greek. I looked at those words. They talked about a scratch or an etching. They talked about a lot of things. And I said, God, this isn't it. We didn't do it. He said, go to the word for 666. The word is chixestigma. In the Greek, it says to go to 4742 as a cross, the last half of the word chixestigma. And when I looked at what it said, it says stizo, i.e. to stick, to prick, a mark incised or punched into for recognition of ownership. I thought about the little injection tool. The end of it is called an incisor. I began to weep and I began to cry, and I said, oh God, what have we done? I couldn't believe that this lined up with what we had developed. And I began to run from God. I didn't run away from the church, I ran into the church. I tried to do as many things as I could to atone for this. But I want to tell you something, as God is my witness here tonight, this got in the way. Money got in the way. I had beautiful homes overlooking the lake. I had all the things that I wanted. And I ran because of the money. My ability to go and get $250,000 in research money took me away from telling the message. I ran for many years. What I want to tell you is that this is real. The microchip implant is real. Credit cards are failing. They can be counterfeited. The new smart card can be counterfeited. They can be stolen. They can be lost. All kinds of things can happen to a card. But you cannot lose your hand. Very quickly, they're going to move to this being in the hand. And I tell you, as a Christian, you cannot take this. No matter what anybody says, God's word says you cannot take it. No matter what they try to talk you into, God's word says don't take it. In Revelation 14, verse 9, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." It's very simple. God's word says do not take it. Today there have been over 15,000 babies that have been given the positive identification, the microchip. Many companies are using the microchip as identification in their top-level employees. The Immigration Naturalization Service has a better passport, the human hand. So many of these things are all around us. We talk about the signs of the New World Order. God has spelled out in His Word just exactly what's going on today in the New World Order. Satan desires to have a one world government. From the time he fell, he said, "I want a one world government." He wants to replace God. And so we see a government put together by men, a one world government. The signs of the times are all around us. We look at the fullness of time in the Bible. In Galatians, it talks about it was the fullness of time when Jesus Christ came. It is now the fullness of time again as we see His soon return. I'm excited about His return. I believe He is coming soon. And I'm excited about His coming. And I praise God for Him. And so I tell you, this generation shall not pass away, my Bible says. How close are we? That's rapture practice. You need to be ready to go. He's coming soon. I praise God for you. Last night I talked about my involvement in the development of a little microchip implant. And many people have already taken that microchip implant. The news media has talked about it being a good thing. And they will tell you that it's a good thing to have this. Your children won't ever get lost again. They won't be able to give you the wrong medication. You won't be able to lose this thing. And so the plan is underway that you will receive it. I would be remiss if I came to you and didn't tell you that God's word says, don't you take it. No matter how nice they make it sound. Tonight in the science of technology, I'm going to be showing you some things. I want you to understand that there is a conditioning that is done in people. The television, I call it a Babylonian idiot box. On the television, you are being conditioned to accept certain things. There is one good thing on television. It is the off knob. Yes. Amen. Spend as much time in God's word as you do watching the Babylonian idiot box. And God will speak to you through His word. And so you are being very easily conditioned. I've been in 17 one world meetings. I was in Luxembourg with Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, and Bob Gates in a meeting. It was discussed there about the microchip. I was asked many questions, and I answered those questions. I've also asked God to forgive me for being in those meetings. They said, we'll make them aware of lost children. And so after that meeting on paper bags and milk cartons all over the United States. There were pictures of lost children. And then one day, all of those pictures disappeared. They aren't on the paper bags and milk cartons anymore because you had been conditioned. And now when you look at a paper bag or a milk carton, you think about lost children. We think like we are told to think. That's the reason why you have to have your mind renewed in Jesus Christ. This has to be in here. He has to be, give you the new mind. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the reason why he said it. Today's technology is the key to the long-standing mysteries of Bible prophecy concerning the last days. It reaches out to us. This technology that we have today is addressed to this generation. What it's telling us is that the time is short. I want to show you the microchip. This is called a Destron IDI chip. This is about the size of a grain of rice. It has a little receiving antenna and a transmitting antenna. It has a microchip in the glass envelope. So this gives you a little look. We'll look at some more a little bit later. One of the things that we see, fiber optics. You see the orange bundles being put all around under the ground in most of the areas that we live in. The fiber optics allow fast transmissions of from our phone lines, but also it will open up our homes to the two-way communication for video communication, being able to see one another when we speak. Every time that you talk on the telephone, they are monitoring your phone conversation. Microchips are used to keep track of animals on military bases. Microchips also can, they talk about why carry cards when an implant will do the trick. This was in Computing Magazine. You can lose a credit card, it can be stolen, but you cannot lose your hand. And so the advantages to a microchip in the hand are very good for the world. So we see there is a conditioning, a telling people that it is proper to have something on your hand. This was in one of the magazines, revealed a secret plan to tag every man, woman, and child. I'm not happy over what is happening. But I praise God that I can tell you and the next group and the next group, because time is running out. Everybody's trying to figure out 666. Who is it? He says what it is. I believe that there will be an Antichrist. As sure as there is a Christ, there is an Antichrist, and he will want to implement this system. People ask me if 666 is in the microchip. When it was my responsibility to design this microchip, I had been working on a computer that was 18 bits. The word was 18 bits in length. When I designed this, I used much of the same Boolean equations. And so this microchip came out to be an 18-bit chip. There are 3 6-bit bytes. This whole microchip is 666. As I told you before, I was not a Christian. I could have cared less. This happened simply because that was what we were designing. I believe God knew when John was on the island of Patmos that it would be. He knew that it would be 18 bits. People say, how will this be used? The Immigration and Naturalization Service is already offering a better passport, the human hand. You have the microchip in a card, and you put your hand in and put the card in, and it reads your hand, and it knows that that is you. However, if you do not want to use the card, you can have an option of having the chip in the hand. We see that 20,000 people chose the microchip in the hand. It's not going to be hard to get people to take it. They're going to think it's a good thing. God's word says don't take it. I want you to turn with me to Revelation for a moment. In my efforts to try to stop the microchip from being, to stop it from being manufactured, I knew that research had not been done on the effects of lithium in the body. So I called a doctor at the Boston Medical Center who had been on the project. I said, what would happen if the microchip gets shattered or broken and the lithium is in the body? He said, you would get a sore. He said, you would get a sore like a boil. I said, what kind of sore like a boil? And I was writing all the time. He said, you'd get a grievous sore. It would not heal. I was looking at Revelation 16:2 a short time after that. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. This is a single sore. Will God cause the microchip to be shattered in all those people that receive it? I don't know. I just think it's very unusual that there would be a sore that would be one sore, not many sores. God has very carefully told us in his word not to take a mark in the forehead or in the hand. It was very easy to get babies to put this microchip in. All they did was run an ad in the paper, and they said $25 will be paid for every child birth through 1 year old that you bring for a government experiment. Women lined up in the rain with their babies to get the microchip. And so the message I give you tonight and the message that we share is that this is real. Stand in God's word and don't take it. I met with a man from the CIA in Manassas, Virginia, and he warned me about some of the things that I was saying. But he also told me, you can't stop this thing. And I told him, I'm not trying to stop it. I'm trying to warn God's people. And so our reason for being here is not to cause you to form a group to go against the government. Our reason for being here is to inform you so you will be stronger in Jesus Christ. I believe if God's people will pray that the best of the design that we have done can fall apart and we can have one more day, one more week, one more month to tell people about Jesus Christ. This is a diagram of the microchip, the BT95-2000. It's the size of 1/4 of a grain of rice. So folks, the microchip is in the cards. It's being put in people. It's all over the place. It will allow us to go to a cashless society. Revelation 13:7 and Daniel 7:23 talk about a new world order. President Bush said Iraq is the first test for the new world order. Clinton and Gore have both said, they've stated that the solution to the problems of the world is a new world order, a one world government. And so we've come a long ways with many, many prophecies. Revelation 13:16 says there will be a mark in the right hand or in the forehead. It says that no man might buy or sell save he that have the mark. And so we see the movement of these things to not only a one world order, but the fulfillment of prophecy. Why would they want a microchip implant? Because the Bible says that no man might buy or sell save he that have the mark. This is the book called Putting People First. In that book, Clinton stated he wanted a national police force separate from the FBI, having 100,000 police officers. He now has over 200,000 under him and Janet Reno. Boot camps for nonviolent first-time offenders. We have many of those across the country. Require all Americans to have a positive identification, a smart card, and then we know about the microchip. Establish a national information network. And because of that, the internet now has problems, and the government is taking over the internet. It's interesting what we see. People ask, how did all this get started? We have ancient mystery religions, Kabbalism, Gnosticism, the Knights Templar, the Rosicrucians, Freemasonry, and the Illuminati. We see a formation of a one-world government, and we say, when did this start? If you have a dollar bill, would you can take it out and look at this. On the dollar bill, the dollar bill, this was put on the dollar bill in 1933. There is the pyramid with the all-seeing eye of Osiris. It's a satanic pagan eye. Where we get the word secular from, world without God, ordo, order, announcing the birth of the new world order. Not only Masons, there are other secret societies, and a Christian cannot belong to a secret society. The oaths that are required in these secret societies go against God. There is an organization called the Council of Foreign Relations. Let's look at the organizational chart. We see men like Schieff, Warburg, Vanderlip, Rockefeller, Baruch, and Morgan. We see that the chairman is the Rothschilds from Germany. They control the Council of Foreign Relations. Even the executive department of the United States government, we see the news media is part of the Council of Foreign Relations. This is an interesting statement I want to show you. I've been in several meetings with Henry Kissinger. I understand less about him than if I'd never been in a meeting. He is a very mysterious man. But he is a mover in the world scene. He reports to the Rothschild organization. He sits at the second seat in the round table meetings. He is very much for a one world order. He is a Bilderberger from the Bilderberger organization, the same organization that our president is from. That was very long, but I want you to understand the plans to make a one world order have been in existence for a long time. There are a couple things that I think I can answer ahead of time, though. People ask me, did the babies who received the microchip, did they receive the mark? I believe you have to knowingly say, I want this thing. A baby would not be able to say that. An old person, an Alzheimer's patient, somebody in a nursing home would not have any control. They still have not received it. So they could have it taken back out. I was told last night that there was somebody that might be here tonight who has a microchip in their hand. I have not been able to verify that or talk to that person. This person received it at immigration in coming from Mexico. And so once again, go to the Word of God. Let the Word of God show you what you need to do. And I praise God for every one of you. I thank you for allowing us to come.
One day in the future, everything will be traceable.
That's right. And that's, you know, this is where being raised an Episcopalian and the book of Revelation is going to, as a Christian, you're going to read it. This is where I get scared because it's too similar to the mark of the beast. It's too similar to exactly what it says. You won't be able to trade. You won't be able to do anything unless you have the mark, unless you bear the mark. So,
what is that in that term? In the how is that described? How is the mark of the beast described in the Bible? We should read it because I think you're onto something.
We're now officially podcasting. This is it. We're opening up the Book of Revelations.
Yeah.
We're in now. Yeah. The mark of the beast. It's like you can't do anything. You can't sell. You can't. If you don't take the mark, you're fucked. I mean, that's that. Like, if you remove the ability to trade currency in a private way,
yeah,
you now can. You are now controlled. You are now monitored. That's mm-hmm. like or.
Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from the heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain.
Fuck.
It also causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Trending today at 6:23, a British company has an idea that would let you ditch your wallet or purse and still be able to pay for things. Hmm. But as you can imagine, not everyone's on board with this one.
And here's why. They're selling microchips to implant under your skin. The company WalletMore says the $300 chip is the size of a grain of rice. You'd most likely have it implanted in your hand. And once it's activated, you can use it at a checkout by just swiping your hand over the card reader.
I would love this because I never know where my debit card is. That's usually in one of their wallets. So if I could put it right in my hand, I'd be happy about it.
Oh, man, I'm surprised with that. But hey, more sunrise ahead at 6:30.
I mean, COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance. And it makes surveillance go under your skin.
This is Richard Werner, the top academic scholar in the world on central banking. He wrote the book and did the documentary, The Princes of the Yen, about the Japanese central bank. Here he is in Malmo, Sweden, in May.
The nature of the CBDC, what is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that.
Right.
But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. He saw it, and it was around this large, and would be implanted under your skin.
So you might have missed what happened Wednesday afternoon at the Fed, but they started their CBDC. Maybe we should start having the conversation of, gosh, this looks like the mark of the beast.
All you need to do is look at the Bible, you know, and looking at this prediction of the mark of the beast and this idea of being able to track. So I don't know. I mean, and this is,
I don't know if that's a literal interpretation of mark of the beast, though. I mean, the mark of the beast is a sign of evil, like a sign of, you know, I'm not sure if it was, my interpretation is a bit more literal than that, or figurative.
Hmm.
Is that what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, everyone in the chat is saying that, and that's, you know, there are people saying the Bible, yes, the mark of the beast, the Bible. So is it, you know, I don't know. We had some Bible scholars here.
I thought you had to sort of, you wouldn't just accidentally get like, or it wasn't for like just the poorest, you know, the mark of the beast was like something deliberate, more deliberate than that, but.
More deliberate than what? Someone injecting you with a piece of...
Right, you don't just prey on people and then eat them up like the mark of the beast, right? You would get it more deliberately than that.
The revolution is, it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing,
right.
Just as an example, it's you who are changed.
Yeah.
And of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. Dr. Schwab, I'm flattered you'd ask me to keynote. There's an expression in my old neighborhood back in the United States. This may be above my pay grade. It's not above yours, though. You've written extensively on the topic that you've asked me to speak to, mastering the fourth industrial revolution.
We do not yet know the full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected.
Well, I think maybe in a couple of decades, when people look back, the thing they will remember from the COVID crisis is this is the moment when everything went digital. And if this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian machines, but even in democracies. And maybe most importantly at all, this was the moment when surveillance started going under the skin.
The fourth industrial revolution has become a reality.
Peter, how about it? I don't see anything good of the BRICS nations coming together and strategizing, as they say, to pretty much take over the world and screw over the West, which is us. Yeah. I'm a little concerned. Well, shouldn't we be worried?
Oh, we should be. And first of all, they supply us with a lot of goods, but they also have loaned us a lot of money. And the interest that we have to pay on that debt is soaring.
И хочу заверить всех коллег, что мы будем продолжать то дело, которое мы сегодня с вами начали по расширению влияния БРИКС в мире.
A decline in the value of the dollar is necessary in order to compensate for the fact that the U.S. economy will remain rather weak, will be a drag on the global economy. China will emerge as the motor replacing the U.S. consumer. And, of course, it's a smaller motor because the Chinese economy is much smaller. So the world economy will have less of a motor. So it will move forward slower than it has in the last 25 years. But China will be the engine driving it forward, and the U.S. will be actually a drag that's being pulled along through a gradual decline in the value of the dollar. So there would be a slow decline in the value of the dollar, a managed decline. And that would be the adjustment that it needs to be accomplished.
We are provoking. Not only have we made the worst geopolitical mistake, which is to push the Russians into an embrace of China, which is the worst geopolitical outcome that we can imagine, we've essentially fueled the creation of BRICS, where 40 nations are now threatening to get off of the dollar as the world reserve currency. If that continues, then you know what that will make the Great Depression look like a cakewalk for us.
I think there's a bigger story to tell about the BRICS. It's almost 3/4 of the world's population have signed on. So there was only the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, but the big one is Saudi Arabia and Iran. Now, the reason that's important is they hate America. And if you can get that picture, plus you have the Belt and Road Project, you have most of the world that's not, I'm gonna hope you don't get censored for me saying this, but the world that they're going into is a non-Christian world. I'm not being religious and all this, I'm not being political. I'm saying it's Muslim, Hindu, Islam, and all this. So this is a very big move, is because the world, who is not white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, Christian, like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, England, they're joining up against the Western currency called the dollar. And so the BRICS is not if, it's only when. Jim Rickards says it best. He says, it's not if, it's when they switch to gold. That's what they're saying. I agree with him.
The BRICS group is set to introduce a new currency backed by gold, in contrast to the credit-backed US dollar, with countries lining up to join the growing initiative.
The BRICS countries are planning to introduce a new trading currency, which will be backed by gold. More and more countries recently expressed desire to join BRICS.
The one final note I will make is that if you think about the benefits of digital money, there are huge potential gains. It's not just about digital forms of physical currency. You can have programmability, you know, units of central bank currency with expiry dates. You could have, as I argue in my book, a potentially better and some people might see it, or a darker world where the government decides that units of central bank money can be used to purchase some things, but not other things that it deems less desirable, like, say, ammunition or drugs or pornography or something of the sort. And that is very powerful in terms of the use of a CBDC, and I think also extremely dangerous for central banks. Because ultimately, if you have different units of central bank money with different characteristics, or if you use central bank money as a conduit for economic policies in a very targeted way, or more broadly for social policies, that could really affect the integrity of central bank money and the integrity and independence of central banks. So there are wonderful notions of things that can be done with digital money, but again, I fear that technology could take us to a better place, but equally has the potential to take us to a pretty dark place.
A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability.
The nature of money is going to change quite dramatically. The old systems of trust and of ownership will have to adapt radically.
This is Richard Werner, the top academic scholar in the world on central banking. He wrote the book and did the documentary The Princes of the Yen about the Japanese central bank. Here he is in Malmo, Sweden in May.
The nature of the CBDC, what is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that.
Right.
But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. He saw it and it was around this large and would be implanted under your skin.
CBDC. If that happens, we're done.
They started their CBDC. Maybe we should start having the conversation of, gosh, this looks like the mark of the beast.
COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, even in democratic countries, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
Wallet Moore says the $300 chip is the size of a grain of rice. You'd most likely have it implanted in your hand, and once it's activated, you can use it at a checkout by just swiping your hand over the card reader.
I want people to go read Executive Order 14067. Executive Order 14067, signed by Uncle Joe, the 8th of March of 2022, and it went into effect 13 December 2022.
CBDC. If that happens, we're done.
The old systems of trust and of ownership will have to adapt radically.
China's taken over, and China, you know, I heard a couple of people say, well, the dollar will never lose the dollar standard. Are they kidding?
Now the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have announced plans to develop a new currency.
My name is General Mike Flynn, and I want everyone to know that I stand fully behind Beverly Hills Precious Metals and its owner, Andrew Sorcini.
Since my name is Cash, I am constantly worried about inflation. But to secure your cash going forward, buy into gold and silver today. And you know who shares that ethos? Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Go to bh-pm.com today so you can go buy gold and silver and secure your family's future. bh-pm.com. Call Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Get your consultation. Buy into gold and silver just like I'm doing today and help secure your family's future. because it's all about educating yourself. And that's the value, whether you go with Beverly Hills Precious Metals or not. It's a free consultation that gives your family options for financial security going into the future. So that's why you should call Beverly Hills Precious Metals.com for a free consultation today.